Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus said to him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, 'You must be born from above.' The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes." Jesus said, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we've seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from above, from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The word of the Lord through our Holy Scriptures.
Thank you. First of all, a little bit of a background. This is from John chapter 3. In the second chapter is when Jesus started his ministry, changing the water into wine, throwing the thieves out of the tabernacle, and also he attended a Passover during which some of the people were recognizing that Jesus is probably from God and should be paid attention to. So this passage reveals the profound depths of God's love and the transformative power of being born again through the Spirit. That did not be difficult to say. This dialogue between Jesus and Nicodemus not only clarifies the essence of the gospel, but also challenges us to embrace a new way of life grounded in the divine love of God. Nicodemus is a Pharisee and a respected member of the Jewish ruling council, approaches Jesus at night. This act of coming in darkness is symbolic, because as far as I've been able to tell, there are no coincidences in the Bible. There's no like, "Oh, we just happened to come at night." No. So the act of coming in darkness is symbolic, representing both the literal night and Nicodemus' spiritual state, seeking yet uncertain. He acknowledges Jesus as a teacher who has come from God, recognizing the divine signs Jesus performs. However, Nicodemus' understanding of Jesus' mission is incomplete. In response to Nicodemus' inquiry, Jesus declares, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." This statement is both radical and foundational. It asserts that a fundamental transformation is necessary to enter God's kingdom. It is not learning, but life that is necessary for entrance to the Messiah's kingdom, and life must begin by birth. In order to have any sight or experience of Christ's kingdom, the heart must be changed, which can only be done by God. So the term born again perplexes Nicodemus, who takes it literally and questions how a grown man can be born a second time. Now, this is indicative of the theology of the ruling Jewish council for decades and even more, making up rules. And they would make a lot of rules that were not commandments or described in the Bible. They just make up their own rules, give themselves power. And so in this way, he was limited in his view of God and Jesus. So Jesus clarifies that this rebirth is spiritual rather than physical. Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. The water would be the water of purifying, as representing the cleansing effect of Christ's blood. This makes the two terms, water and spirit, express the double cleansing of Christ's blood and of the Spirit's influence. Now here, Jesus emphasizes the necessity of a spiritual rebirth facilitated by the Holy Spirit. So this new birth is essential for participating in the life of the kingdom of God. To illustrate the mysterious and sovereign nature of the Spirit's work, Jesus uses the analogy of the wind. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell from where it comes or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. That was verse 8. So just as the wind is invisible, yet its effects are unmistakable, the Holy Spirit works in unseen ways to transform hearts and lives. This transformation is not something we can fully comprehend or control. It is a divine act of grace. Isn't it unusual for people to complain about mysteries most often in religion when they exist everywhere in nature? Lots of mysteries are all around us, but if you have a mystery in religion, people complain. And many stop to ask how this and that can be instead of believing God's work. So then Jesus draws a parallel to Moses raising a snake. Like that, not like my goddaughter is raising a snake. The background connection is that when the Israelites were in the wilderness, they were bitten by fiery serpents. They were dying of the fatal bite. Moses was directed to make a brazen image of a snake and lift it up on a pole. Those who looked upon the serpent should be healed of this bite. I didn't know that until I was doing research for this service. I didn't know it because it wasn't in the movie The Ten Commandments. Was it? I don't think it was. So when Nicodemus asked Jesus, how can these things be? Jesus kind of rubs it in his face that he ought to know, since he is a teacher of Israel. Then Jesus doubles down on Nicodemus by saying, if Nicodemus doesn't believe the earthly things that Jesus claims, then he cannot believe the heavenly things that Jesus says. So I try to read between the lines here. After this last claim of how can you possibly believe heavenly things that he says, read into that Jesus going, This is quite the 1-2 punch to Nicodemus' lack of complete faith. As the conversation continues, Jesus unveils the heart of the gospel and one of the most beloved verses in the Bible, John 3:16. Most of us memorized it from the King James Version as children. But the new version is, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So this verse encapsulates the essence of God's redemptive plan. God's love is vast and inclusive, extending to the entire world. It is a love so profound that God willingly gave his only Son to provide a way of salvation. God's love is not limited or conditional. It's an all-encompassing love that embraces every person, regardless of their past or present circumstances. Which is more of a relief for some than others, but I'll end that note there. This love calls for a response of faith, believing in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and the Savior of the world. This belief is not mere intellectual assent, but a deep, trusting reliance on him for our salvation and transformation. And the final verse underscores God's purpose. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Jesus' mission was not to bring judgment, but to offer salvation. This is the good news of the gospel. Through Jesus Christ, we could be reconciled and receive the gift of eternal life. Reflecting on this passage, we are called to consider what it means to be born again. This spiritual rebirth signifies a complete renewal of our hearts and minds. It involves turning away from our old ways of sin and embracing a new life in Christ. This new life is characterized by the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, who empowers us to live in accordance with God's will. Being born again is not a one-time event, but a continuous process of transformation. It requires daily surrender to the leading of the Holy Spirit and a commitment to grow in our relationship with God. This journey of faith is marked by ongoing repentance, faith, and obedience. In practical terms, being born again means living out the values of the kingdom of God in our everyday lives. It means loving others as God has loved us, extending grace and forgiveness, and seeking justice and mercy. It means being a light in a world that is often shrouded in darkness, sharing the hope of the gospel with those who are lost and hurting. As we think about this passage, let us understand the transforming power of God's love. Let's open our hearts to the work of the Holy Spirit, allowing him to renew us from within. And let us live out our new birth by reflecting the love and grace of Jesus Christ to all those around us. May we be a community marked by the radical love of God, ever growing in our faith and ever reaching out to bring others into the embrace of God's redeeming love. Now then, centering prayer is from Thomas Merton, and Reverend Julia first showed this to us. And every person that hears this prayer identifies with it. Goes something like this. Let us pray. "My Lord God, I have no idea where I am going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end, nor do I really know myself. And the fact that you think that I am following your will does not mean I am actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope I have that desire in all that I am doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. I know that if I do, this will lead me by the right road. though I may not know nothing about it. Therefore, I will trust you always, though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death. I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone. Amen.